Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
We're going to have a little bit of a different service this morning because I'm going to use the kids a couple of times throughout it. So I hope no one gets killed or anything else. So, what I wanted to talk about this morning is a couple of weeks ago, in my class, grade 3 to 6 in CFC Kids, we talked about peer pressure. And what we said and what we did made quite an effect on me. I don't know if it did on the kids, but it was profound on me. And that's what I want to talk about today, peer pressure and what we can do about it. And my first thought for myself was, well, do adults have peer pressure? When I thought about it, to begin with, you know, I thought, nah, only teenagers. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, no, as adults, we all have peer pressure. It may be more insidious, you know, not quite so open, because kids are very open in what they do, but we have it. And I want to start with a little illustration, and I need Caleb, I need Archer, I need Talitha, and Stavros. You come up here for a minute. Now, could someone just lift this out of the way for a minute? No. Now, you kids come up this end, and I think we're going to have to... Is that all right? Yep, shift that. We just don't want any accidents. Now, kids, if you find yourself getting too near the edge of the stage, please don't fall off. Okay. Where's Aaron? Where's Aaron gone? Oh, there he is. Come on, Aaron. He's not Sherman anymore, he's Aaron. And Aaron's standing with God, okay? And I better set the scene. You'll know it when I set the scene. Moses has gone up the mountain with God. God's called him up to give him the Ten Commandments and other instructions. And it's been a long time. Does any of the congregation know how long Moses was up on the mountain with that God? Be interested to know if any of you know. I've got one at the back. Anyone else? Sally knows. Okay, Lorraine, how long was he up there? Thank you. 40 days and 40 nights. Just for your interest. Okay, Aaron. Oh, got to get all this stuff out. Like my big rope? Have a hold. Right, kids, line up one behind one another. You can come a bit too out of the land of Egypt. How quickly did the people turn? This golden calf, they're saying, this is who brought you out of Egypt. They've gone through the Red Sea, where God parted the waters. They've gone through quite a bit at this stage. God has proved himself to them. But within a flash, within 40 days, within that month that Aaron and that Moses has gone up the mountain, they're saying, give us someone else. Give us someone we can see. So then, this is what really got me. Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar in front of the calf. Did the people ask him to build an altar? No. He did it of his own accord. Then, just to finish it off, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. So the people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. And after this, they celebrated with feasting and pagan revelry. They've just gone totally off the track, and Aaron with them. Aaron, who is the priest. He's the high priest, and he's just pulled away by the people. As we said, we don't know why, what was in his thinking that he was pulled away so quickly. But why? Why did he do that? He appeared to have no hesitation whatsoever. I wonder what would have happened if, in the first instance, Aaron had said to them, "Hang on, guys, you know that you can't see our God. You know who he is. You know who brought us through the Red Sea. You know what he has done. You know about all the plagues in Egypt. What are you on about?" We don't know what would have happened, but I wonder what would have if he'd stood up and he'd said the truth. Instead, he bowed to a lie. He went from what they said to his own thinking. Because even when we're under peer pressure, it's our own thinking that draws us away. We have all these silly thoughts in our head, the what ifs. The what ifs, I think, are the most dangerous thing in our vocabulary. What if? It's very easy for us to bow down to peer pressure. I want to give another example. Let's just say we had a meeting of six people and everyone's come prepared and four people are very strong in what they want. They've set it all out on paper. They got everything that would be good and how it would work and lay it out for everyone. Now, the sixth person just thinks, "Oh yeah, they've done all the work, that's fine." Apathy, he doesn't really care. The fifth person sitting there thinking, "Yeah, but I don't think this will work. I really don't think it'll work. There's something wrong here." But he doesn't say a word because through his mind he's saying, "What if? What if they don't like me? What if they won't talk to me after I say this? What if?" And so he says nothing. Time passes, a few months, and what they were doing has come, fallen apart. It's a mess. And they don't know what to do. And the guy, the fifth guy who knew it wouldn't work, says to himself, "I knew it wouldn't work." Gives himself a pat on the back, a smile, and that's it. Who was right in that? I can tell you who was wrong. The fifth man who sat there and was quiet and didn't speak up. He didn't speak up for what was right, what was true. He just said, "No, what if?" And this is where I'm coming from. We have to stand up in everything for God's word. We have to ascertain the truth for ourselves, find out what's being argued about, look at the word and see where God stands. Now, in today's world, as you know, there's so much going on. Andrew said it right at the beginning, so much happening. There's the Calvary Hospital in the ACT. I think it may have already happened. I know it was at the beginning of July that they were forcibly taking over the hospital because they didn't like the hospital's ethics. That was the only reason that they came up. "You won't do abortions in your hospital, therefore we are taking your hospital over." I've never been so angry. I was really just so angry. And I'm saying, how can a government take over a hospital? It's not theirs to take over. How can they do this? But they didn't like the ethics. There's the gender question where all our children are getting so confused and hurt. There's many that are just mixed up. They don't know what they are, who they are, because of what is being taught in the schools. I read an article that said research shows that 69% of boys, 23% of girls, first viewed pornography at age 13 or under. Now, you can imagine what that is doing to our children. I'm really upset by what is happening in our world. We know from the Bible that our world's going to go like that. Our countries, we're just following after the others mindlessly. But what are we doing about it? What can we do about it? I'm not asking you to get up and go and riot like in France. I'm not even asking you to go and march. But I'm saying, what can you do? None of us are too old. None of us are too young. None of us are too busy. There's petitions you can fill in. There's letters you can write to the Prime Minister. Yeah, look, they may not get read. They may not look at the petitions. But we still need to stand up and be counted for our God. The church, the people, that's who we are. And if the church, the people in it, stop looking at what's happening in the world and say, oh, well, nothing I can do about it, then we're doomed and we're as bad as everyone else because we've done nothing. I don't know what sort of a reaction you're going to have to this, but this is how I'm feeling. And I believe that God has been leading me to fill in petitions and whatnot. And I can tell you, at one stage I chickened. I filled in the petition, and on the computer it said next step. So I pressed next step, and it said, now, email a friend, Facebook, blog, do something to make your friends or someone aware of what is happening. You know, I sat there and I thought, I'm not doing that. And the what if started. What if that causes trouble and I've got people arguing with me? What if you know, they don't like me anymore? What if it wasn't good enough? I didn't do it, but I should have. I should have, because I know some people say, but that if I fill in a petition, they've got all my details. Well, they've got them anyway. It doesn't really matter, does it? They've got them anyway. And let's just say in future, we could end up in prison for speaking out our minds. Isn't that what happened to the disciples and everyone else? We have no choice but to follow God, do what he says, and stand for what is good and true and right. Now, I'm not going to go further into that because I'm just not, but I'm going to segue into something else that you may think has no relation, but I believe it does. In our kids' church, this is how they told us to finish the segment. And at first I thought, how does this fit? But it does. It does fit. Aaron, after he'd done, you know, he was pulled away, he made the calf, he did all of that. The people face the consequences, just as we today are facing the consequences of the changes in our political things. We're always going to face consequences of our actions. But God did not take the priesthood from Aaron. He could have. God could have been really angry and taken the priesthood from him for what he'd done. But he didn't. Later on in Exodus, it talks about how he was wearing the robe of priesthood with all that it signified. And I'm going to do another little illustration here. Can I have Joseph, would you mind coming up for a minute? Your friend can come too if he wants, but he can stay there if he wants. Who else have I got that didn't come up before? Any kids? Where's Ava? She's gone. How many kids have I got down there? Brooke, Ava, yeah, you too. Could you come up here for a minute? Come on. It's nothing hard. Come on. It's nothing hard. Now, I want you to get in a line and face me, okay? No, oh, no, I'm going to be over here. I'm going to be over here, so get in a line that way and face me. Yeah, so I can see you. Oh, this way. Yeah. Next to one another. No, next to one another. That's better. Come on. Ava, come on. Brooke, no, come here. Over here, Brooke. Okay. Now, next to Ava. Now you'll be pleased you came out. Are you any of you allergic to these? No. You're allowed to eat them? Parents, yell out if you're not. Okay, putting that in front of you. Oh, wait a minute, I've just realised. We need to come forward this way. Come forward this way. Come right forward. That's it. Okay. Put it up there. I know you've done the lesson. Right. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have any of you ever disobeyed your parents? Not done as they asked. Take a big... not too big, but a step backwards. Step backwards if you have never said no to mum and dad. Always done immediately what they told you. Come on. Come on, level with Joseph. That's it. All right, have you ever lied? Take a step. Have you ever said nasty things about people? If it's no, you don't have to take a step. Have you ever... Or what else can I ask them? You're not going to tell me, are you? Okay, that'll do. Oh no, maybe you better have another step. Have you ever been angry with anyone? No? Okay. That's okay. Right, now I want you to reach with your hands and get your lollies. Gord, no, you took a step, go back. You took a step, you got to go back there now, try again, and you can't reach. No, we're not cheating. Okay, now I want you just to sit on the stage for a minute, all right? Now, so none of you could reach your lollies, could you? So you don't deserve them, do you? Not getting them. No lollies. Yeah, I can remember in kids' church their faces when I said, well, you don't deserve them. You're healthy? You don't deserve them because you couldn't keep the commandments, could you? You don't deserve them. What would Jesus do, do you think? Do you think... He'd what? He'd be in front of the lolly? No, but can you remember what we said? I think you're the only one that was in the class. So it's a bit hard on you. Can you remember what we said? You can't? Well, if you've done something wrong, what do you do normally? Yeah. Say you're sorry. And what happens then? They can forgive you, can't they? Does God forgive? He does. Well, I got a definite yes from that. God forgives, doesn't he? Jesus forgives. So that even when we were pulled away or done things wrong, he always forgives. Other kids can come and see me later. Okay? Go and sit down again for a minute. So So even when we fail to stand up, fail to do the right thing, it's not a hopeless cause. God forgives us no matter what. But I'm challenging you today, look at what's happening in the world. Look what we're doing to our children, our grandchildren. What's happening? And stand up and do something for yourself. And I don't like to put it this way, saying even if you only pray. That's the first step, because before you do anything, you should pray about it. See what God's telling you to do. Because if you don't, you can end up in a real mess. But talk to God. Talk to him about, should I do something about this issue? What should I do? How should I do it? Look at it and say, all right, what could the consequences be? Because we should always look and see what the consequences can be. If you think you're going to end up in prison, is it the right thing that you're doing? Because that would be a big step, and I doubt that that's going to happen to any of us. But we have heard of pastors that have ended up in prison for standing up for what they believed in. So, yeah, look to God. Look to God. See what he says. Read the word. Talk to him. Pray. Then stand up and be counted. Even if you're never heard. Even if people don't want to listen. The same thing with telling people about Jesus. There's different ways and means. And just want to add this bit, I hope Rach doesn't mind. I was talking with Rachel the other day, and we were talking about the gender problem, and she was saying, yes, I come up across that a lot. She said, but what I do is I don't get into an argument or anything else. I talk to the person about how they need Jesus. She said, I don't address the problem. I'm not qualified. But I point them to Jesus always. If God gets them, then the Holy Spirit will help them in their thinking and change it. Now, you might agree with that or you might not. And if I've got it wrong, Rach, I'm sorry. You'll have to deal with the flack. But I thought it was really good if we don't feel, because arguing gets you nowhere. Discussion may do, but usually not. But discussion can if you're all reasonable and sitting around talking. But yeah, just do what you is right, right by the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we all love you and worship you. We want to follow after you. Lord, if it is what you want us to do, then help us to stand and be counted, even if it's in a small way. Lord, help us to pray for our nation, to pray for our prime ministers and our leaders. You put the words in our mouth to pray for them. Your word says we get what we deserve. And this is what we're getting now, I believe. Father, we need your help so much. Please help us in all of this. We pray in Jesus' name.